This is Channel 2,
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
I'm in love with Rutland.
Are you?
Yeah. What a county.
Did you find the Greek taverna?
No, I didn't find the Greek taverna, and I wasn't really sure which high street, because
there's only one. Rutland's tiny.
Well, but you do know it stretches across. I was in three counties.
Yeah, well,
very easily.
It stretches from Leicester to Peterborough, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's tiny.
It is tiny. It is beautiful, and
it doesn't exist.
It does. It is a county. You were wrong.
Yeah, no, they've re-established it as a county.
After you said.
Yeah, no, they've re-established it as a county.
Yeah. They heard that. Sorry, I'm just tweeting. But I have to say, I did a tweet copying in Shepherd Neame, because, we have a lot of Shepherd Neames. And sometimes, I can't really walk to my local Shepherd Neames in Whitstable because food...
You stagger, don't you?
I stagger back.
Yeah.
But the food isn't good enough. The food is not up to scratch. And we're proud of our food in Kent, yeah. But Rutland, oh my goodness, the food. So they have a farmer there called Need, K-N-E-A-D, Need Farms, and it's farm to plate, and he's got about 6 or 7 pubs.
Right.
Absolutely. Didn't have one bad meal. Amazing.
How many meals did you have in
Quite a lot.
Yeah, I bet you might have done. Yeah.
I think you saw some of them.
I did see some of them, yeah.
And, of course, we were caravanning. My new husband does like to take me out in his camper van. And I managed to sleep this time, which is the first time
come on in.
Since COVID that I've been camping and slept.
Come on. I want to get on with the show, but... We need to find out how you broke your ribs. Come on.
Well, you see, because I've got a metal knee from horse riding. Yeah. I hope Amanda's listening. Do be careful of your knees, Amanda. So a horse kicked me when I was 16. And, of course, since then, it wasn't treated very well. I'm so old, there were no air ambulances.
I was going to say, blimey,
Didn't have an air ambulance.
Didn't have aeroplanes then, did they?
No, the guy in charge of the stable did was...
They had a sop with camel came and picked her up off the floor.
Well, the horse kicked me and the guy in charge of the ride, I'm sure I've told Bunker listeners this before, instead of getting an air ambulance or an ambulance, he made me get off the horse and stand on my leg, and it was a compound fracture. I was 15, and then he made me get back on the horse somehow, and I fainted, of course. And bone was sort of sticking out and stuff. And then he picked me up and he carried me across two ploughed fields swinging.
I don't want to rush you or anything.
Me kebab.
But we've only got 2 hours, and this story started 47 years ago, so
can you knock a few years off that, please?
Can we move forward to why you broke your ribs last week?
So, it's all because of COVID, isn't it? So new husband decided, because of COVID, because we're working from home, we're all locked in and we can't go out anywhere, we were going to start cycling, like everybody out there.
So you didn't do this in Rutland?
Yeah, I did it in Rutland.
Okay, just checking.
So he bought me an electric bike because my metal knee doesn't really push as well as it should.
Right.
And I don't have the stretch on it that I quite should, the bend on it that I quite should.
Okay.
I'm a good cyclist. I cycled all my life. Kids were always on a little seat on the front of the bike and stuff like that. Anyhow, so in Rutland, I tried out my electric bike and it was a gravel path. Beautiful round Rutland Lakes, which is what's the water company I said it was? It was Anglian. Brilliant they are. There have been sewage leaks, but they have built these about 5 amazing lakes, reservoirs. Don't talk to me about water shortage. Build a reservoir.
When she stops, could you just wake me up? Because I'm just gonna have a little sleep.
Have a little snooze. Yeah. So anyway, my electric bit of it didn't seem to kick in.
Uh-oh.
And so I pushed my left knee.
Your battery was flat.
Then, I don't know. And then the whole bike just fell. I probably should have practiced first at home, on a gravel path.
No, I wouldn't.
And, of course, the bike just went like that, and it fell on me. And it's quite heavy, electric bike. And I was trapped. I was pinioned, Paul Andrews, under.
I'd pay money for those photographs. I would. I really would.
My little knee, my left knee, of course, I fell on that, and that really hurt. And And then the handlebar went straight into my left bosom. I've sent you a picture. It's on Twitter.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very glad I'm a 36C because probably I would have broken even more ribs.
Cushioned.
I mean, Ali's nodding, you know.
Yeah.
But it was very painful. But I was very brave. And I said to Stuart earlier off air that because there are lots of butch men going by in Lycra, I wouldn't cry. So I sort of Gav hauled me out from under the bar. I was trapped because my knee was under one bit and my bosom was under another bit and the handlebar was pinioned. And he got me out and I was going, yeah, I'm fine. And then I had to have piece of lemon drizzle cake, hot chocolate with marshmallows, and then a chocolate cake for the shock, Ali. I mean, you know, you needed the sugar. So you will understand that.
Totally, Jules, totally.
Yeah, because it is her birthday and she has bought beautiful cakes.
Absolutely.
She has. So there, it was a bit painful and I haven't been on the bike since.
Right.
So I need to get back on, don't I?
Yep,
before
absolutely.
I lose my nerve. I mean, Amanda would say that, get straight back on.
Right.
Not with a broken leg, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so I've sent you a picture of my bosom.
Okay, sorry, I'm distracted because I've
what, by my bosom? Or?
No. I've just had an email from HSBC.
All right.
Thanking me for closing my account, which I haven't done.
Oh, God, I mean, your bank accounts have been going bananas.
HSBC are crap, and there's no other way of putting it.
It can't be worse than the cooperative.
Oh, they are, trust me. Anyway, enough of that.
I would like to ask who our sponsor might be.
I've forgotten.
Is it Bras R Us?
No.
Brevissimo?
No, it's an electric bike company.
It's a great bike. I think the combination of gravel and somehow it didn't kick in as it should have done.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
There's one more thing that I've noticed. So you've got an electric, you're a bloke, see what you're about. So on these electric bikes, you've got a dial that shows that it's switched on. So you've got a little, you know, it's illuminated. And it was on, I had it on number 3 or something, so it should have been raring to go with just a pedal. But when you look in your sunglasses, you can't read it. So there's a design fault there, isn't there? So I'm cycling along having to take my sunglasses on, and that's not very safe, is it? Really? You can answer if you want, Stuart. He's just flabbergasted.
We're just very lucky that you survived at all.
Exactly. And I tell you, broken ribs, there's nothing you can do. So I Googled it and I said to my new husband, there's nothing I can do. And you can't breathe, you can't cough, you can't sneeze. Sitting up in bed when I got back recuperating, watching Downton Abbey, which is my one weakness. So I'm in bed and I've got all my pillows plump. But you literally can't. You know how you put your hands to pull yourself back? You can't do that. Yeah, it's great.
Sorry, I'm distracted. I'm distracted by HSBC.
Well, call them.
No. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, they won't.
They've closed my... I'm going to do a whole number on this now. They've closed my bank account because I haven't filled in the safeguarding data. I've actually done it 4 times, right?
Really?
And the last time I did it in conjunction with their online chat person, and I said, I want you to go through this process with me to ensure that I've done it right and you've got the documents that you're asking for. He went, fine.
Yeah.
I did it all.
Yep.
I submitted all the documents for the 4th time.
Yeah.
And then he said, yes, I've got all of those. And I've just got a letter saying, you failed to do this and we're closing your account.
That's disgusting. You're seething.
Mm. That's HSBC, ladies and gentlemen, the worst bank in the world.
Apart from cooperative.
Well, I don't know about the co-op because I've never used them, but HSBC are an abomination. They are dreadful and terrible and they are not remotely customer orientated.
Well, isn't this the way that it's all going, though?
Yeah.
That, you know, we're speaking to computers. And I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I bet your chatbot had a name like Humphrey or,
exactly, yeah.
And they are, because I had similar, my mum, who's 90, nearly 91, Ruth, was trying to get her a dishwasher.
Yep.
And I think I told you, we had a long, long wait because of COVID. And I wanted to use local and I couldn't. It was 5 months and couldn't get any, 12 weeks, sorry, not 5 months. So I had to go to Currys and they fitted it, but they've left a gap underneath. So she's got a gap. And she's not very happy about it. And so I had to speak to a bot, which took ages. And it's to-ing and fro-ing. And I get really annoyed. And I copy and paste what I've said. Because you write it all. And then they go, they make you start again, don't they? Because they don't read what you've written.
Yeah.
And then after all that, they said phone carries. So it was a complete waste of time.
Oh, tell me about it.
But this is the way we're going. Can you actually speak to a person?
It's the problem, isn't it? Everything's automated. And because it's automated, there's no way into the system to actually talk to anybody that's going to sensibly take note of what you're doing. It's like this. The program they've written for submitting this data is one of the worst pieces of software I've ever seen.
And you're an IT person.
I used to be head of electronic banking for a major bank.
Yeah.
And it's the worst piece of software I've ever seen written. It has no logic to it at all. And it also doesn't have any guidelines while you're filling it in. What it does is it says you haven't submitted all the right information, but it doesn't tell you what you haven't submitted. Yeah, whereas most decent software will highlight it in red. You haven't answered this question. None of that. So you have to keep going through it and saying, have I missed this? Have I missed this? Have I missed this? Have I missed this? And then it says at the end, submit your documents here. And you attach the documents, but it doesn't give you a message to say whether it got them or not. Yeah, you just attach them. So the last fourth time I did it, I had the guy, the bot there.
Yeah.
I said, I've just sent you a copy of my council tax and a copy of my annual return.
Yeah.
Can you confirm you've got them? And he came back and said, yes, we've got both of those documents. They've just written to me saying they haven't got the documents and they're closing my account.
It's just disgusting. And the thing is that it's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You actually feel like murdering them.
And time wasting. Do you know how long I've spent doing this? I've submitted it. It takes an hour of time to do it.
Yeah.
I've done it four times. And all they do is write to me and go, you haven't done it.
Well,
what more can I do?
I was trying not to mention AstraZeneca damage, but AstraZeneca are the same. They, you know, I have had their Mimecast, which I think is a pretty old-fashioned program, Mimecast. So they keep sending me duplicate Mimecast things, asking for permission to speak to my GP. And I fill it in, and I fill it in capitals with exclamation marks. I've already answered this. And I've had seven duplicates of that. And then they say, oh, we won't contact your GP. We can't give advice. But Mimecast is really annoying. And I think we need to be, as customers, we need to be listened to. And there's nothing worse than not being heard or understood or listened to. And that is the problem. If we get to all this, A1? Robots. It's the same now.
AI, sorry.
I always call it Al, and my new husband doesn't understand that. AI. But even at the airports, when the last time I travelled...
You can call me Al.
Yeah, you can call me Al. You could play that.
Yeah.
But even at the airport the last time I went, there was some hologram person that I had to... that was telling me what to do. Some awful... It was really spooky in the days when I could travel 2 years ago. Sort of a hologram, right. It was. And then I had to check in myself, and that was like, it took me half an hour to check it in. I just wanted a steward, you know, a person to check me in. Because you want to ask them things as well, like, have you got my gluten-free meal? But you can't ask a bot that.
No, you can't. And the whole thing's nonsense. We've completely lost sight of any form of customer service, and they don't care.
I know.
They don't care. HSBC couldn't care less. Yeah, they don't care if you're a customer or not. They couldn't care less.
And they're closing all the branches, of course, so you can't even go in.
Well, even if you could. Tony, my finance manager, went into the HSBC branch. Between the second and the third attempt at doing it, he went into the branch and said, look, we've done this twice. And they went, oh, no, we can't do anything about it. What do you do here? No, we can't help. Sorry, you'll have to ring. And you ring and they go, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry.
It's bad.
It's not our department. Somebody else. It's compliance. Well, can you put me through? No.
No, that's not good.
Yeah. Anyway.
I would like to ask who our sponsor is.
Oh, come on. We've almost finished the show.
No, that's why I'm asking.
We're absolutely pleased and proud to be sponsored this week by We Do Social Media, who provide social media
social
management.
Social media.
Social media workouts and the social media gym. That's Elle, Linda and the team at We Did Social Media. Thank you so much for supporting the Business Bunkers show. I've got a tweet. Look at the time. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker. We'll be back next week with another... Michael Park Surveyors, tune in. It's such a great show. Well, it would have been if we'd ever started. As we always have a laugh, well, we're having a moan today. That's the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, MPSL. On the Twitter, they are commercial surveyors based in Medway Towers, covering the southeast of England. Steph, who does their social media, is offering to take you for a tour of South Africa.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Yeah. I mean, what a job. She's, because I was kind of working out how she's doing surveys in UK, but in Cape Town, I didn't understand it. But now you're saying she's doing a social media, I get it.
Yeah, it's technology. We just had a conversation about this, Jules.
Did we?
Yeah, technology.
Well, you can be
it's
anywhere.
Called, it's called
Yeah, but she can't. She's not obviously not on the surveying team of rentals in Kent or the UK.
No, she's doing her social media.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in South Africa working? And of course, now we can. Some of us can work from home, can't we?
Can you?
Some of us. Well, I was reading that prices on coastal towns and Devon have absolutely rocketed 22% or something. I did love Rutland, though, because I tell you why. It wasn't crowded. We could park. We could walk.
You fall off your bike.
We could fall off your bike.
There was a
people were lovely. The food was divine.
There was a Monty Python sketch about that many years ago.
About Rutland?
No, not necessarily Rutland. It was a group of blokes that went on a cycling tour.
You do realise, Ali, that I'm the one that gets the blame for the show going over time. Well,
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a group of blokes going on a cycling holiday, and all it consisted of was a crashing sound, and then a bloke went, it's 7:30, fell off in Devon. And then a little while later, there'd be a crashing sound, and it'd go, it's 9:30, fell off in Somerset. Anyway, we haven't got any time to do anything now, because it's time to do the cheesy tunage.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
Well, you'll have to guess.
Oh, Start Me Up.
Of course it is.
That is Rolling Stones.
Of course it is.
Mick Jagger.
It is.
Yeah. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. Let's start me up. The Rolling Stones, as Jules quite rightly said.
You prancing around in your leopard skin tight pants to that. It was very good to see.
Was I?
Yeah, very good.
I'm actually going bonkers at HSBC is what I'm actually doing. But,
Chips and Dinks are saying, Jules, it was your ankle last year. What are you like?
Yeah.
I can't even remember my ankle. I can't remember. I have so many scrapes.
Yeah, I think you fell over drunk when you was coming back from the pub.
Did I?
Yeah.
Mm.
You can read one more thing and then we're going to talk to Stuart, for whom Start Me Up was the cheesy tunage.
Yeah, I got that.
We'll explain why in a minute. Go on, read something.
Oh, I'm just Paragon Drones, yeah. One of our regular listeners, has said, awesome. You know, I get a bit funny about that word, don't you?
I know.
A bit hoity about it. Awesome choice of music this week. So thank you for that. And the lovely collector's buddy, who I don't know where he's listening. I don't know if he's done the school run this morning. He probably has. He could be in the loft having a little coffee. But he says, I thought I was having a bad day, Jules Serkin and Villeneuve. But you two on B-Bunker, using the hashtag, have made me chuckle.
Thank you.
And he sent a little heart and a little whatever that is.
Yeah, well, don't chuckle. What I want you to do is gang up on HSBC and tell them how rubbish they are. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah, well, chuckle first, and then because chuckling is good.
We'll laugh at HSBC. That's the thing to do.
And Fort Burgoyne Weddings, who are a unique wedding and events venue, and they also provide flexible options for couples for intimate nuptials, I like that word, to large-scale celebrations. So you can have an intimate nuptial, I wonder what that involves, to large-scale celebrations and also corporate events. You can find them on diamondcircleweddings.com, and they're based in Dover, Ali.
How?
Do you need an intimate nuptial?
I think I avoid anything with the word intimate in it.
You avoid?
Avoid.
Well, COVID, social isolation. Yeah. But they are lovely. And they've sent me a picture of a bucking bronco sort of thing.
No need to be like that. Oh, a bucking bronco.
And Nurse Liz is listening. She says, oh, my... Because she's a nurse, you know, but she's listening in Pennsylvania, a long way to come to treat me.
Yeah.
But there is no treatment for broken ribs. That's why it was shocked me.
Yeah.
I was sleeping in a sports bra for a while. That helped.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening, sports bra.
When I used to regularly break my ribs, which
did
I
you?
Did. Yeah, yeah.
When
yeah.
you played rugby?
No, I played football. I was goalkeeper, so you're forever breaking your ribs.
Because you dive down.
Because you dive down onto hard ground, especially in the winter when it was frosty and hot.
Yeah. What did you do?
You just wrap a corset round you.
Now, they said not to do that on Google.
Oh, it's probably changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, I took arnica for bruising, and
was luckily,
took arnica, and I was taking it every hour. And medicinally, the lemon drizzle cake I think was very, very good. And chocolate cake, hot chocolate with marshmallows.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Do you want me to read something? Or
no,
should we talk to Stuart?
I want to talk to Stuart.
I'd like.
I want to talk to somebody sensible. I'm just so fed up with listening to you. And
I know.
And it's all going Pete Tong this afternoon.
I can always
go
back to Rutland, you know. I did like it there.
Now, I saw the amount of messages you put out on behalf of the Rutland Tourist Board.
And you know the other thing? I stumbled across a stately home where they filmed The Crown. And they were filming The Crown. Yeah.
But you didn't you send me something about Highclere House as well, you know, Downton Abbey?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I lost track of what I was sending you. I mean, I just annoy you all the time.
Yeah, no. But you sent me a picture of Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey?
Is what is used as Downton Abbey, yeah. Which is Highclere House.
But I know that all I know is, my goodness, I didn't have one bad meal there. Pubs. Mm. Oh, the food, the honey.
You say, right, anyway, enough.
Rutland honey.
I don't want to hear any more about your holiday in Rutland. I want to talk to somebody
sensible, for goodness sake. I know.
I'm sorry about this, Stuart. I really am. So I can only apologise.
Bit of a rumpus today.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show, but it's an awful long time since you were last on, isn't it, Stuart? Stuart Tanton. Stuart is Chief Executive of the Kent Foundation. It must be a few
Director,
years.
Director, actually.
Do you know what? I hate it when she goes away on holiday because she then has to come back and... No, she's not perky. She has to dominate the show, filling us in and all the things she didn't talk about last time she wasn't on.
Yeah, I saved it up. But he's director, I happen to know.
Yeah, good.
Thank you for having us, Paul.
It's a pleasure, mate.
I mean, I enjoy listening to this. It's a completely different experience
being
here.
It's bonkers, isn't it? Yeah, it's just bonkers. It's mad. Stuart, thank you for being on. It's a few years since you were last on, I know.
Yeah.
And we have been remiss in terms of inviting you back, but we've got you here now, so that's fantastic. For those people that don't know out in the audience that are listening to us, just first of all, give us an overview of the Kent Foundation, what it is and what it is you guys do.
Yeah, sure. It's the Kent Foundation is a registered charity. It's been running for 36 years, I believe, and
right.
It's there to support young entrepreneurs and business owners. So 18 to 30s is what we sort of target, and providing business support, business mentoring, create an opportunity to sort of showcase and give them the platform that they deserve in Kent.
Yeah, and hence my choice to start me up.
Yes, it was very good.
Did you see what I did there?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
So, yeah, and as you know, Paul, as a businessman, you know, starting a business can be a challenge.
Yep.
And we've been through a particularly difficult time over the last 18 months. I think Kent Foundation Services, what we do, has been essential, in all honesty, over the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
Giving young people who are literally starting up in business everything that they need to make a success of it, or at least get through as best as they can.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it, just in general terms, the whole startup process needs lots of help and support. And kind of, you know, it's a bit like the conversation we were having earlier about banking, you know. Nowadays, there are so many things that you have to think about. There are so many regulations. There are so many issues to think about when you start a business. And we're going to be talking to Ali later, who's a commercial lawyer. And she will know about all the kind of things that we advise businesses to think about, you know, like insurances and shareholder agreements and all that kind of stuff that, of course, get lost in the excitement of actually starting a business, you know, and you know, because most people don't start a business so they can do the paperwork. They start a business because they've got a passion for whatever it is they do.
I was going to say exactly the same. It comes from that passion of wanting to do something that they want to do.
Yeah.
But I think, and also touching on what we talk about with sort of customer service, we know that, and it's sort of widely reported, that businesses succeed with support, with a wraparound support available. You know, we're not, people should access as much support as they can around themselves when they're starting up a business.
Mm.
And I think we're particularly strong, you know, when it comes to sort of the services and the offer that we've got.
Right.
Using the, we've got currently 120 volunteers involved in what we do.
Right.
Business people from around the county with that whole range of, and you touched on some of the things that can be quite challenging, difficult for people to get their heads around, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And even be aware of. You don't know, you only know what you know.
Yeah.
So having that resource of business mentors who come from all backgrounds. Mm.
Tell us a few of the backgrounds that they come from.
Well,
so what kind of skills?
There's obviously professional services like accountants and solicitors, essential within us. But equally, and I think it's really important, people who have been there themselves know what it's like to actually start up a business, So they could come from having a coffee shop somewhere to sort of growing that into a successful business to, within the construction industries. You know, we've got some sort of real leaders and sort of what they've done. You know, very many of our business mentors have grown multi-million pound businesses and exited and sold them on, and now have the time to be able to give back. So that whole range of sort of experiences I have from small businesses to, and actually one thing, you know, it depends how we sort of go on this, but interesting, we've started doing sort of surveys, sort of understanding the types of businesses we support. And actually, we knew this, but we support actually more females in business than males.
There's
quite a split. And we've been recruiting a lot more female mentors, you know, getting women involved in supporting the next generation coming through as well. So it's when you were talking about chatbots and stuff, we very much believe that if you build personal, real relationships with people, those businesses are going to survive that much better. And that's what we do.
I 100% agree with you. It's the big corporations that try and automate everything out of sight just because they can, and they don't care about their customers. And that's the problem with all of that. But you're absolutely right. For any small business, the lifeblood is your personal reputation, and you can only manage that personally. You use automated tools to assist you to do that by, you know, without any shadow of a doubt. But it's all about personal relationships, and it's all about being there for your customers, which big organisations just continually fail to do. But I don't want to talk about that, because I want to talk about the good things that you do. And it was interesting what you said about female entrepreneurs. I haven't looked at the data recently. A couple of years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, I compared the Women in Business Awards. And at that time in Kent, I think it was something approaching 40% of all startups were started by women under the age of 40. Yeah, so it was 40 at 40 was my strap line for that. But that was a few years ago. And it's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant, you know, that people are starting businesses. There are 5.9 million businesses in the UK, and 5.8 and a half million of them are small businesses. Yeah, and people don't realise that, how dependent we are on small businesses, because the big businesses take the bulk of the media awareness, but there's very few of them. Most private employment is with small businesses, and it gets very little attention. So you're absolutely right. And one of the things we love, one of the many things we love about the Kent Foundation, and I've in the past, I haven't for a couple of years, but I used to come to your events. In fact, I've got one of my favourite photographs was taken at one of your events, and it was taken at, I think it was Oakwood Park. One of the
a blast event.
It was a blast event. That was it. I was trying to think what they were called. Yeah, it was a blast event, and I've got a photograph of me. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Standing between two young ladies that started a.
I know what you're going to say. So a performance company.
It was a performance company, and they were dressed as like
sort of event sort of.
They were event entertainment.
You looked very happy.
I was very happy. They were scantily clad, and it was a rose between two thorns, Ali. It really was. And that was at Blast all about 3 years ago. And Blast. Just talk about Blast a minute, Stuart, because it's been a.
That's been a blast.
It has been a fantastic event.
And actually, over the years, you know, we would have up to 200 people but latterly we had up to 250 people attending those events. Latterly we held it at the Maidstone Studios because of the size and how it and also it gave us quite a blank canvas to sort of make it look how we wanted to. So it was incredible, but this is a sort of time I don't want to sort of drag COVID into all of our conversations.
You can't avoid it though, can you?
But we relaunched, we really looked at what that event was and how we wanted to go forward. And actually the Kent Foundation and the journey it's been on has been, it's, we're very much a business support organisation charity now, supporting young people. And it probably was more previously, it certainly initially was about more of a young person's organisation who wanted to go into business. And there's a significant difference. And actually, we want to give those young business owners now that platform within, and actually their place within the established business community, and actually give them a bit more level playing field when it comes to sort of networking and meeting, you know, people out there. I don't think this is just a young thing, but when you're starting up in business, you know, there's, you know, sort of well, if you don't know what events are out there to go to, you don't ever meet you know, people out there, and there's a very supportive Kent business community. So we wanted the future to look more inclusive of everybody. And so pre-COVID we put together, we got a steering group together and really looked at it and come up with Kent BizFest. Which is very much more focused on networking, but equally an opportunity for young business owners to showcase, but really to sort of encourage the business, the wider business students to come in, see what they're doing, and equally to sort of reconnect and to connect. Now, COVID happened, we weren't able to sort of go ahead last year with that. But I am pleased to say that on the 12th of October, in fact, in 2 weeks' time today,
Right.
Tuesday evening here in Ashford at Coachworks.
Right.
We're holding our event 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock in the evening. There's going to be a real sort of fest sort of sense about it. We're sort of deformalising it a little bit, making it a bit more. We've got Fraser Thompson, founder of
Curious Brewery.
And Chapel Down coming to speak. Equally, though, we've got other young entrepreneurs speaking. There's a panel. There's a fire pit for people to come and get some free mentoring support. I have to say, highlight that sort of point. You know, it's a free business support, this. You know, if there's listeners, if there's people listening thinking, how do we access this? You know, if you're between 18 and 30, you know, we provide our services free of charge. And so those that have been involved over the last few years have got that opportunity to come, and we'll showcase them at this event. But equally, it's an opportunity to come, business community, come in, meet, and also hear a bit more about what we do as well and understand what we do and the impact. Going back to the sort of stats a bit, you know, I think it's something like 3.5 times more likely to succeed with a support network around you.
Yeah.
And we're working within that startup first 2 years of trading.
Right.
So if we can get them through those,
the first 2 years is going to be crucial. A much better
Sort of place for new businesses.
Mm. Yeah. And I have to say, I know a number of businesses over the years that have started up through you guys that have gone strong and are stalwarts of the Kent business community these days as well. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of them that have gone through your programme.
There's been thousands of businesses come through the sort of programme, and we're currently, like today, there is something like about 100, over 100 businesses being, 104, I think, to be exact, businesses being supported through our mentoring programme. That's not including all those who sort of like drop in and sort of act, but we've got ongoing relationships with those. Our numbers were actually growing quite a lot. So in the period up to lockdown, there's something about 160 businesses accessing that long-term, you know, sort of support. Yeah. And like you say, Paul, you know, we're seeing the fruits of it. There are, and actually, go historically back, actually, there's some, you know, good businesses out there which can put their name to the fact that they reached out. And part of, you know, accepting when you're starting a business up, you know, reaching out and asking for help. There's plenty of people out there to sort of provide it. You do a lot, Paul, you know, in this sort of area. Mm-hmm. So, we're there as part of that, and hopefully to sort of also direct to what else is going on in Kent that's relevant to them in business.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic thing that you do, and it is so valuable to the Kent community and the Kent business community. What you do is fantastic. I just want to go back to the event that you're going to do on the 12th of August, did you say? 12th of October.
Yeah.
And it's at Coachworks. For those that don't know, Coachworks is a community workspace and a hot desking space and office space and all kinds of event space. It's right opposite the International Station. There's a car park right in front of it, a pan display car park.
If you've got petrol, that is the station is a better bit.
Yeah, don't even go there.
I've got half a tank left, by the way.
Yeah, me too. But that's where it is. It's right in the centre of Ashford. It's really easy to get to. It's a lovely place. And so be there on the 12th of October. If people want to come along to that event, how do they do that?
Yeah, so if they want to come along, go on kentbizfest.co.uk and there'll be a link through to the sign-up page.
Fantastic.
There is an Eventbrite page, but if the kentbizfest.co.uk is the best place to go,
We'll put a link to Kent Biz Fest on the Business Bunker website as well, so we'll put that link up later on today. Don't worry about that. Stuart, you've got those events going on. You've got businesses that you're mentoring and helping and getting support. You're going to help me kick the hell out of HS. No. From your point of view, as someone running a business, running an organisation, how do you see things for you as an organisation? You know, where are you in the cycle? You know, like most people, I guess you've suffered through, you know, the lockdowns and the pandemic and all the rest of it. Are you coming out of that now? How are things looking for you?
I think it's interesting that you sort of probably recognise the fact that a lot of charities and actually a lot of business, we've all taken a bit of a hit. And over the last couple of years, we've had to sort of dig deep into reserves. It's been a real challenge. And our books, our accounts are all public on there on charities' you know, on the Charity Commission website, so people can sort of see what sort of hit we've taken.
Yeah.
And it's actually not being able to put on these sort of events, not, and actually the nervousness within the business community, yeah, to sort of how can we support when actually we've got to look after ourselves at this point of time. Yeah. So the last couple of years have been really difficult.
Yeah.
I think when we went into lockdown last year, it was, we really had to sort of focus on there. At the time, there was 150 businesses being actively supported by us. And they were taking a hit. Mm. And I said to you off air, you know, before we started, Paul.
What kind of businesses, Stuart, were they?
Oh, everything ranging from, well, tradespeople, so garden services, performing arts companies, accountants, digital companies, sort of design companies, you know, food producers.
Of course.
And some have done, some of these businesses, you know, there's a whole range. When people sort of ask what sectors do we work in, it could be quite, it's very eclectic really, and actually some, you know, it can change quite often.
Yeah.
Because our focus is on them being young, so yes, we don't look for specific industries that we work within. But anyway, I've brought some sort of figures, but I think it was something like when lockdown hit those businesses, it was something like 62% of them were able to continue trading in some sort of way, and 38% didn't. They just ceased. That's quite a big chunk.
Mm.
And actually, of all of those, they were down to about 30% of their revenue. You know, as the Ken Foundation, we're trying to capture some of this. So there was a significant hit. So we really had to focus on that and supporting those. And as much as in, yeah, providing mastermind groups online, obviously turning all those services on. In one sense, there was a silver lining in the sense that we saved a bit of money in travelling around, because we're very much in-person sort of organisation, meet for a coffee, have a chat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and our mentors are all our volunteers, that's what they would do, but they weren't. So we embraced
technology. So you moved online, yeah.
Onto Zoom, as everyone has. So there was that, became more accessible to people, actually, once everyone was up to speed, which was a good thing. But there was that isolation element, and I think although we could provide the mentoring and the mastermind groups as well and the masterclasses to continue that sort of supporting them, the business element, there's a personal element to this.
Mm.
We've all know, you know, and actually, you know, people's, the isolation element, the mental health issues and things like that. So we did some fun stuff as well, like quizzes and just time for sort of drop-in and silly. We did Feel Good Fridays, which might have been just a post, but it was very trivial. But I think it sort of was right to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of young people,
recognising that they're people behind these businesses, aren't they?
And a lot of young people aren't established in their family home life. You know, they might be in a bedsit or in a smaller place or in a flat doing, you know, having to work on a bed or a very uncomfortable chair, and they're not getting the mentoring that they're getting in the office. So
I think
that's where it was so important that you did that kind of fun element as well, where people could drop in.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, we couldn't be everything for everybody, but we had to do what we could do. And so I think going forward, and obviously then there was sort of a period where the world unlocked and Rishi was at that, giving us a bit of a voucher to
eat out, to help out.
You know, so we had that was lovely to be able to get out and see people again, but there were restrictions around it.
Mm.
People got a bit Zoom tired, you know, a bit of Zoom fatigue. And so I think going forward, at the Kent Foundation, obviously, the opportunities there are, you know, it's, people talk about hybrid and what that might be for us.
Mm.
Obviously, I think what using Zoom or other platforms is made is that we can be a bit more responsive and not wait to be able to make sure that we can get everyone in a room together. That's a great thing.
Mm.
But like with Kent BizFest, actually having the opportunity to equally have the in-person events and actually, you know, there's a lot of nervousness around holding events like that still in a lot of people. We did a survey, in all honesty, to sort of find out what the feeling was about that.
Mm.
And my feeling was very much, I think we need to lead on this and actually show there are a lot of people who are desperate to get out. So let's lead and show that we can run an event. And I think going forward, it's that mismatch of, you know, in-person events, retaining the personal, retaining, building those relationships. I think myself and my two colleagues, Rowan and Miranda, you know, it's about encouraging people to still connect and still make sure that those relationships are built, because that's where the support really lies.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a trust, you know, in business, you're only going to talk to someone about the real issues in your business if there's an element of trust.
Yeah.
And so we need, that's what we do. And it doesn't come down to sort of necessarily, we know a lot, like 90% of the businesses, that we've been working with have completely changed their business plan over the last 18 months to what it might be. That's a part of in business, but it's actually, you know, there's got to be the sort of the will and the motivation and the resilience to be able to sort of run a business as well. So I think we do that quite well, and I think if we can do that with a cross sort of with a hybrid sort of version of having the accessibility of digital, but also making sure that we're putting on and making sure that people are connecting in a real way, I think we will continue. All we can do when it comes to the sustainability of the Kent Foundation is really sort of show the impact that we have and actually get business people to, you know, I think our audience when it comes to support is people who have been there themselves, know what it's like to actually start and actually understand the real value that an organisation like us and actually mentoring provides young people. And actually a good economy is good for everybody, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we talk about competitive markets, but at the end of the day, we want to see an economy thriving, and actually it needs lots of businesses to be able to do that. You know, sometimes in our mastermind groups, we have two businesses that are very similar, but actually what they learn, you know, what they sometimes bring to it and the openness in those conversations is fantastic. Yeah. So,
absolutely. Sure, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much, and keep on doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is really powerful and useful.
Essential, don't you think? I mean, I'm just sat here listening, and startups are just the backbone. British economy needs that to get going again, and so
You're right, Ali, and I think you're going to get very busy in October and November this year when furlough ends. And a lot of people find they're going to be losing their jobs.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are going to be turning to the startup arena in terms of looking, you know, as people are made redundant. One of the big startup impetuses is people with a bit of redundancy cash go, do you know what, now's the time to start.
Well, when the end of the furlough scheme was sort of, when it was initially back last October, the commitment from us was to continue recruiting and training and recruiting volunteers.
Can I just put a little plug in for
something with Kent BizFest, and I do think, you know, if people want to know more about what we do, come along to that, because we tell the story much better in person.
Yeah.
And actually there's people there to tell our story, which is really powerful.
Yeah.
I will just add about Kent BizFest. We've had to get us over the line with this, because there has been a nervousness about putting on an event.
And absolutely.
Do we do it? Don't we do it?
Yeah.
Is there any kind of insurance nowadays that's been brought in?
Well, we haven't got any.
No, it's almost impossible.
We can't afford. There may be, but I think, you know, I think it's right to be respectful of the situation.
Of course.
But we've got a company called Reward Events, which states sustainable events, and actually Danielle there, who's actually based in Ashford, is helping us over the line with this. And the Kent BizFest, I mean, you've described Coachworks fantastically, and it's a very sustainable sort of venue. It's a great, and it was really on point with what we wanted to. It's great space for showcasing what we do. But Danielle's helping us over that. So a lot of the stuff we're doing is making sure that our event is sustainable as well. Yeah. But I think the call is, come and see us, come and talk to us about, like, hear what we do, talk to us about what we do at that event, and think about how could you get involved, because we've got lots of volunteers, but I think, you know, we need partners, we need businesses to really back us to sort of for the future.
And it's a great opportunity as well, you know, it's a great opportunity for established businesses to go along and help and to meet new businesses, because these people starting these new businesses are going to be your potential customers as well, and suppliers and part of your supply chain.
It strikes me that the way that we're really short is trades now. You know, you mentioned gardening services. Yeah. My goodness, like, because everybody's been at home, they've all been looking at their house, their garden. There's a guy that does stained glass that I wanted just one, and I asked him in March, and he was booked up till November, and then I contacted somebody else through Business Bunker that came through, and again he's been round, he's quoted, he's given me the glass, we've chosen the colours, he's given me the design, still hasn't done it, and that was May.
Yeah.
So these sort of housey or trade plumbers, my goodness, you know, try and get a plumber. So
it's like so many things, you know.
HGV drivers.
The government managed to kibosh that, didn't they, with their ridiculous IR35 rules. I mean, that's, you know, that's just anti-small business legislation, which they've been pioneering for ages. But, you know, Georgie's right, you know, we do need a lot of trade orientated businesses, but we need businesses. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, you know, start a business, you know, be in business for yourself. Why not? You know, I mean, that's what we need to do.
And we'll say what we've been saying all along since the first lockdown. It's the small businesses, the SMEs, that have kept us all going. Yeah. You know, our local fruit and veg, the bakers, when the supermarkets were not able to give you a slot, it was them, the small businesses, that kept us going.
I've always, in the past, and this is a bit like what you've done with the 3030, is it?
Yeah,
with the FSB. It's about inspiring people to even consider it, because a lot of people don't even think about starting a business.
Yeah.
And I think, actually, I got into this sort of business by actually wanting young people to think, like, think, dream big.
Yeah.
And actually, what do you put in place, you know, to, and then what can we put in place to enable them to do that? Because there's so many restrictions sometimes.
It was interesting, actually. A few weeks ago, I did a talk in a young people's institution, and we were talking about careers and work and stuff like that. And I mentioned, you know, how about starting a business? And everybody kind of looked at me, and I said, you know, because they were saying, oh, well, the problem is with a criminal record, it's really hard to get a job and all the rest of it. I'm going to start your own business. Why not? You know, you've got lots of talent. There are so many talents there. It's unbelievable.
Locksmith. I wanted to ask, Stuart, if you go into schools, because, you know, capturing people before they're 18 to inspire them to do what you're talking about.
Exactly,
I'm a governor at a local school, and I have responsibility for careers, and it's a grammar school that I'm a governor in, so I'm constantly fighting against the tide of expectation that these children will go to university.
Oxbridge.
And I'm like, no, let's talk about all these other options that they could do. Let's look at apprenticeships. Let's look at and kids starting their own business. So, that's another place
we coined
where you
it. Paul Martin, like the fourth option, because often when people are leaving school, there was that, right, you've got to get a job, further education, or if you don't do either of those, you're unemployed. What about starting a business?
Absolutely.
A passion, something you're passionate about.
Absolutely. And that's what we do. And we've got a lot of, you know, we've got all these businesses, perhaps a bit fueled by passion. But, you know, with the right support around, we can get them.
I've got an offer for you. Standard. I'd love to come and do some free legal workshops with your people. I've got a whole booklet, all the six areas you need to know about when you're starting up a business. I've got forms for people. I've got documents they can have.
Yeah.
Give it all to
She has cake, too.
And cake.
She comes with cake.
She's raring to go.
No, that's fantastic.
Brilliant.
And that is how we,
collaboration.
Into that, collaboration with Kent. We get so much support.
It's about community, isn't it? And it's about everybody helping everybody else where they can and encouraging people, because that generates more business for all of us in the long run. And, you know, we don't do it just to generate business, but it does, you know, that's what having a community is all about, is working together, supporting each other, collaborating, helping each other. Absolutely. Look, we could talk about this forever, but sadly we're coming to the point where we need to join the newsroom. So what I'm going to demand of everybody out there at the moment is I want you to clear your diaries for October the 12th, and I want you to all plan to come to Ashford to Coachworks. For the Kent Biz Fest.
I just put the link out on my feed as well for that.
Fantastic. We'll put the link on the radio website. What time does it start, Stuart?
6 o'clock. Six till nine.
Little fire pit. I like the sound of that. I shall bring some sausages and a fork.
You might even get a free drink when you
come. Glass of water. Glass of water.
Exactly.
We'll be there. We'll be there, Stuart, and we wish you much, much success with that. Just give us a quick shout out for the foundation website.
KentFoundation.org.
Fantastic. Have a look at that, kentfoundation.org. Check that out. kentbizfest.co.uk.
Correct.
Check that out. Get your diary sorted out for the 12th of October, and we'll see you all there. Stuart Tanton, thank you so much for being on the Business Bunker Show. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Blimey, it's all going mad, and we've got 5 minutes before we join the newsroom. We're well behind schedule because we had to listen to Jules' nonsense. Chips and Dinks have been on. Tuesday's here again. Jules Serkin has returned to the Business Bunker, don't we know? Joining Vanilla Web in support of the business owners of the county. You have a great show with your guests. We'll be listening on Catch Up later. Thank you for that. That's Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks.
Well, they could probably help my ribs, couldn't they?
They could probably put some filler in your ribs.
Exactly.
Athel Bray, hello, Business Bunker gang. We'd love a shout out. Training and coaching are all available on site, in person or virtually. Just email our operations director, Fran at athelbray.co.uk, to discuss. Our director of wellbeing is is also having some one-to-one tuition with our grandson Connor this morning, and they've got a lovely little photograph of their dog and their grandson.
The Isle of Thanet News have said that government to take over South Eastern Trains after serious breach of franchise there. So that's quite hot off the press.
Breaking news, eh? Martin Reeves at Collectors Buddy Museum, Buddy_Museum. Could I have a Business Bunker shout out, please, Paul and Jules? I'm listening in today and I'm looking forward to hearing from Stuart and Ali. Sorry, I'm catching up with these. So these were all from about an hour ago before Jules started talking.
Did I read? I did read Collector's Buddy, didn't I, in his little loft? It was having a bad day. And we send our love as well because he was in a lot of pain last night and feeling a bit grim.
What did he do?
I don't know. He was in pain.
Oh, okay.
I think it's an ongoing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, thing. Sorry. I suddenly realised what you were saying.
Yeah, he hasn't broken his ribs, but it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, no, I hope you're feeling better, Martin.
Athelbrey, the lovely folks, have sent lovely pictures of various sports bras for me.
Oh, good. You need those.
Yeah.
James, the prop maker, you know the chap that was doing Brum?
Yeah.
He says, hello, hope you're having a great show today. We're listening in. So, fantastic. And the lovely Tracy Ferguson. We'll look forward to listening on Catch Up with the replay show. Have a good show, everyone.
And Casey K9 is saying a little pit stop on my morning constitutional with Doris and the Egypt. He's at Amy's Pantry. And a big hello to them. They are based in Tenterden, of course. It's an open plan kitchen cafe serving up speciality coffee.
Yeah, and Fort Burgoyne Weddings have just sent me a gif of a bloke on a horse skipping.
Yeah, I think you know why. Because that was my horsey tale about broken legs.
Yeah.
I call it a gif, you call it a gif.
It is actually pronounced gif.
Yeah, I call it gif. But everybody says gif.
Everybody says gif, but the guy that invented it says it's gif. Yeah, but I'm still calling it a gif.
Yeah, well, you would.
It's got a g, so it's a gif. And Fort Burgoyne Weddings have also sent an AI robot. But they call it, like you did, the A1 robot.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of a robot dancing on the road.
AI just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I've always said Al, but because wasn't Al a robot?
You can call me Al.
Yeah.
No, I think you're thinking of...
I don't know what I'm thinking
Hal.
Of. Oh, yeah, Hal, that was it.
Hal 2000,
yeah.
Arthur C. Clarke.
And we read Paragon Drones. They're looking forward to another great show with Jules Serkin back from her travels and cheesy tunage. You can find them on paragondrones.co.uk. They're a propelling drone service to higher levels through excellence, harmonising drones and businesses by creating value and exceeding expectation. And they promise not to fly over your garden when you're naked.
Yeah. Kent Tweetups just say, ouch.
That's my, yes, my ribs, I believe.
Athelbrey, we've got something sensible at last.
Yeah.
I've been searching for something sensible. I've got something sensible at last. Athelbrey, so Business Bunker, really great to hear from Stuart about the work of the Kent Foundation and support for new businesses. So important to develop all skills, but without interaction with your customers, you're doomed. So absolutely right, as Stuart quite rightly pointed out. And Jules has tweeted a link to the Kent BizFest, which is great.
Yeah, and Michael Parks have said they'd love to host me in the South Africa, Cape Town.
We would gladly collect money to send her.
Yeah. I've spent many a time frolicking in Constantia.
You've
there.
Frolicked, have you?
Yeah, frolicked in Constantia quite a few times.
Well, do you know what?
Is it time for the news?
We haven't read anything. I haven't even started on any of this, and we're halfway through the show.
I know.
Anyway, we're going to join a Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got fantastic. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk to another fantastic.
We've got Ali Young.
Guest. We have indeed, but we're going to join the Channel Radio.
She's
newsroom.
She's legal, you know.
Yeah, here we go. Shut up.
Yeah, watch it.
This is Channel 2.
What's happening?
The Business Bunker